listening to The After Dead.
What's up, everyone? It's Kate Chastain, and welcome back to another week's episode of After Deck. You guys are going to love this episode. Happy Halloween, by the way. Over the last few weeks, one name that has frequently been discussed has been the coolest of beans, EJ, our Canadian bosun. And on this episode of After Deck, we are finally talking to him. He's going to help me recap episode 9 of Below Deck Season 5. But I also want to give EJ the chance to share his thoughts and first impressions of the crew. Maybe one or two deckhands in particular. I'm talking about Nico and Baker. And I'm going to get his take on what's been happening in the interior of Valor with me and my stews, even though I don't really give a flying fuck because deckhands don't know what's going on. But EJ's so nice, so I trust his judgment. In the meantime, before we get into my chat with EJ, I have to tell you what happened with me this week. It's funny, when I'm working on a yacht, I can be up and at them at like 6:30 greeting guests. But on land, don't expect me to be like human before 10 a.m. So Wednesday morning, the local high school that I went to, my mother went to, my uncle went to, I'm like second generation Melbourne Central Catholic. It's a very small private high school in our town. They sent 30 plus 15-year-old volunteers over in their bus to help out at Genesis Boutique. So it's 9 a.m. I'm tired and I've got 30 high schoolers staring at me. I thought I'd break the ice with a joke. I said, "Good morning, guys, because just so you know, FYI, I am second generation Melbourne Central Catholic. Your first job will be to detail my car." Dramatic pause. Waited for laughter. Nobody laughed. I don't know if it's generational, like they didn't get the joke or that they thought I was serious, but they neither responded positively or negatively. It was like crickets. And then I thought, I think they think I'm serious about detailing my car. They were really there to pull weeds. Long story short, now I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for their stewardship to the community. But I mean, there was this beautiful ivy that was so charming and growing along the wall of our front porch. And after 10 minutes, I walk out to check on their progress, hand them a rake, you know, boost morale. And they had already ripped all the ivy off of the front wall. And I said, "Hey, kids, anything that looks like it might be growing on a Disney princess castle, that's not a weed." But it was too late. So the ivy's gone. So are the weeds. I appreciate it. Luckily, our ivy grows fast. And tonight I had a lovely dinner with somebody I mentioned in my first season of Below Deck. His name will remain anonymous. I just called him my Manther, which was a male version of a cougar. And it kind of relates to this episode of Below Deck, because on this episode of Below Deck, we have these charter guests that seem to be a May-December relationship, a younger blonde girl and an older gentleman. Now, I have nothing against an age difference in a relationship because I dated a gentleman who was 19 years older than myself for about 4 years. And he is the Barbie and Ken of our town. He's got a gorgeous home on the ocean. He's an amazing surfer. He is so handsome. And I was really in love with him for so long. But then I went away for yachting and I came back and I wish I could go to a hypnotist, because if I could just be in love with him, life would be my happy ending. Like, once upon a time, there was a girl who went to Melbourne Central Catholic, had these volunteers come kill all the ivy, and then she went and lived in a beautiful house on the ocean with beachside Ken. Well, anyways, Manther and I went to dinner tonight, and dinner was amazing, and my Manther really is a true gentleman, so only time will tell if I will rekindle that flame. Speaking of gentlemen, my guest this week on After Deck is EJ, the Canadian bosun, Mr. Cool Beans himself. I hope you guys enjoy my chat with Mr. Cool Beans, EJ.
Hi, EJ. Where are you right now?
I am in Ontario, in a small town called Guelph, where my dad lives.
Now, is that in the west? Oh, there's Halo. Is that in the west side of Canada or the east side of Canada?
That is in the east side.
Okay, so you were just up in British Columbian Mountains with chickens last week?
Oh, yeah. Was fully submersed into a farm lifestyle. 80 chickens, rounding them up, getting fresh eggs every morning, and fresh veggies, fresh cow milk.
Wow. Whose farm was it?
A good friend of mine, like a family friend. He decided about 7 years ago he was going to move to the country, and now the dream has come true, and he's got this acreage that supplies the whole little village with all their vegetables and all their and their eggs, too. Well, quite a few eggs.
Well, do you know, I have a very important question that I have been dying to find out the answer to, but I really can only do it by living it, but I want you to verify. I was once told there is no better taste than a warm egg fresh from the chicken's, what, hiney, or wherever it comes from. Like, the freshest egg, still warm. Do they really taste that amazing?
You don't get anything any better than the fresh egg out of the chicken's butt.
Yep. Well, I mean, I didn't major in animal biology or anatomy, but is that where the that's not where the eggs come from. But we'll call it that. Do they?
It looks like it.
It does look like it.
The best case, though, is if you can find one that's just kind of poking out. It hasn't.
Ew, stop. Okay, God, EJ, you're hilarious.
One out of there, and it's actually really fresh.
You're just waiting. So how do you like your eggs? How do you like your eggs in the morning besides straight from the chickens? Then would it, do you scramble something that fresh, or is it better like sunny side up?
I think if you're going to a restaurant, I'll have it over easy.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm at home, you know, I'm just quick and easy, scramble them up, you know,
yep,
get it in,
yep.
Get it out.
But what about fresh from the chicken?
I think we actually did scrambled.
Oh, that's so aggressive.
But the thing is the yolks are so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like bright fluorescent orange. So it's a whole different experience. And their chickens, you know, the chickens you buy from the stores, they're stuck in usually like little farms, you know, they're not getting a lot of outside sources. Whereas these chickens are free run, they're eating bugs. So the bugs change the yolk color, right?
Right.
I got the whole spiel on the farm all week. So
are you maybe thinking one day after all your time on the ocean, you might retire to a farm life?
You know, I think a guy could only wish, you know?
Yeah, actually, I think that's kind of a lot of yachties go that route. Like after spending so much time working on boats, they're like, I just want to move to the country. Never see the ocean again.
Well, aren't you kind of like that too?
I mean, I live on a barrier island surrounded by waters, but I mean, being not on a boat is good enough for me at this point. But yeah, I wouldn't mind visiting the mountains, seeing the leaves change. Now in Canada, are the leaves changing or is it just freezing cold?
It's not even that freezing yet. It's only like -4.
What?
And actually all the leaves are changing. It's insane. It's like bright yellows, bright oranges. It's unbelievable. And the best thing is I'm in Ontario now, where the best leaf changing area, right? So you get these crazy maples that are just bright fluorescent orange. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you are in the prime leaf change zone, huh?
You don't get much better than this, Kate.
Well, I can't wait to see photos of that. So how have you been since you left Valor?
I have been busy as all hell.
Well, tell me, what's up?
Well, quite a few years ago, I came up with this yachting guide to teach yachties how to get into the industry. So I've been basically honing this up, getting it for its full. So I've been getting this guide all honed up. It's like tutorials. Basically, I was tired of green crew several years ago, tired of teaching them, you know, the difference between a bow and a stern, what a bowline knot is, that I just decided to make this guide, right? And so
why didn't you bring that guide with you on Valor and hand it out to every deckhand?
Hey, you know, it you can only teach so much in the time that we had, right?
Yeah, that's true. So what format is this guide in? Is it like an ebook, or like are you printing it out?
It's actually it's an online course, so it's a 5-day course. The first day one, you get in, you learn the different locations, the destinations, the seasons, you know, how to write a CV.
You want to know what the first thing I ever learned was? Because I didn't want to go into my first yachting interview. I was walking the docks day one, just fresh out of college, no yacht experience at all. I had never even hardly done my own laundry. And I was at Pier 66 dock walking, and they used to have all the nautical flags painted on this long wall with the matching letter for each, matching, you know, maritime word for each letter. So I spent, I'm pretty sure I got it done quickly, but I memorized Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Hotel, Golf, did I do that wrong? India, Juliet, Kilo, Lima, Michael, November, Oscar, Papa, Romeo, Sierra, Quebec, Tango, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey, Zulu.
Okay. And what do they mean?
Well, I know what some of them mean now, but I just thought going into my first interview, they'd be like, so I see you have no experience. The least I could do was spout off the maritime alphabet. And I think that would show initiative.
Okay. That is true initiative. That's
thank you.
That's above and beyond.
And actually, it's coming quite handy.
Where was this initiative on Valor?
Doing your laundry and serving the guests?
No, not with you, with the other crew, I meant.
Oh, clearly they did not know the maritime alphabet. They're a bunch of foxtrot uniform.
Well, or like we like to say, you know, a bunch of numpties.
Whiskey tango foxtrot.
Okay, what is the Q flag?
Quebec.
What does it mean, though?
Quarantine, because you come from a country where you're sick. So when you're going into another country, you put the quarantine flag up so other boats know that you possibly are bringing in disease.
God dang it. You're just too damn good, aren't you, Kate?
Oh, you give me another one. And here's the other one I know.
Bravo?
Yes, Bravo. Bravo is the other one I know. It means we're bunkering fuel.
Good.
And it's also the network we're on, which my first season of Below Deck, I like had this crazy pirate theme party for some of our charter guests. But I had borrowed the Bravo flag to like as the grand finale from the wheelhouse, kind of to like make a cute little nod to the Bravo network. And I think the guest took it at home or something. And to this day, the first mate on Ohana is so mad at me. You're like, you lost our Bravo flag. Do you know how often we use that? Every time we get fuel.
We've had that same flag for years, Kate.
That flag came with the yacht.
Oh.
Okay, ask me one more question. See if I know. Try not to make it too deck specific because interior is where I shine.
Okay. Let's do, because I got a stewardess section.
Oh, you do?
Because I have a stewardess that helped me kind of get things running with this guy.
Take me to school, EJ.
So, what is the difference between Russian silver service and American? Oh!
With Russian silver service, there's usually prostitutes on board that they call their girlfriends. And with American silver service, you usually don't have to do it because Americans don't require it.
Boom. I don't know how you know all these, Kate.
No, actually, I don't know that one. Let me guess. Is it tongs versus using a fork and a spoon to serve?
Yeah, well, it's the tongs. And then most Americans, basically Americans like to pick their own, whereas in the Russians form, they like get it served to them kind of thing, already on a platter.
Right. Actually, so I was pretty close. The Russian is definitely more formal. It's almost like you have to have one stewardess holding the platter while you have another stewardess using a separate long serving fork, long serving spoon to transfer the food to the plate, where an American silver service, you'd have one stewardess holding the platter with one hand and the tongs with the other. Okay. I'm guessing.
There's, you know, basically with this guide, you got 5 different days and, you know, at the end, there's a 40-question quiz that's actually really tough and you got to pass it within 25 minutes. And if you pass it, then I send you forward to basically a job bank. And then, you're obviously a green crew at this point, but at least you've passed the test and you have an understanding. You know what the bow is. You know what the stern is.
That's so smart. You've got EJ's stamp of approval. So then you probably pass them on to boats that you know or know you and trust your judgment. That is so smart because Actually, it's funny that you mentioned writing a yachting guide, because do you know who else has done that recently?
You?
Well, I wrote a book. It's more of, I don't know if it's a guide, because it's like a tell-all of all the charter guests I've had on board over this one crazy year, my first year of yachting. And I think it might scare people away from yachting a little bit. But no, it does mention a little bit of how to get into the industry and how much work it is. But you, who's writing a guide, and I've seen it online, it's actually really good. And it's so funny, is Baker. You and Baker. What's going on with you and Baker lately?
Not a heck of a lot. We hung out a little bit in LA, partied it up a bit, but you know, she's a busy girl. She's riding off in her RV into the sunset somewhere. So, you know, kind of
right.
What happens on the boat stays on the boat kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I understand that. But you sure were cute together on the boat. And I think maybe necessarily what caused it, your relationship between Baker to become so close so quick, was because you kind of were the only two getting along on deck. Like, Bruno kind of buddied up with Max. They're spending time in the galley. Nico kind of buddied up with Bree because they were spending time in their bunk. You know, so then there was you and Baker.
Pretty much. You know, it... There wasn't a lot of options to choose from. And, you know, coming new into the crew, too, it was trying to get to know everybody. And Baker's kind of a neutral, easy to get along with. You know, I don't see too many people having a problem with it, right? So
Baker is so great. And, you know, she at first seems like a female Matthew McConaughey, the way she talks. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. All right.
Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I could see her in the back of a Lincoln truck, you know, twisting her fingers a little bit, you know. Have you ever sat in the back of a Lincoln? Well, maybe you should. All right,
I could totally see, you know, the police getting called for a noise ordinance and showing up and finding Baker playing her bongo drums naked in a drumming circle. That happened with Matthew McConaughey. And I'm not, and possibly, I think, Baker might be in a music festival in a drumming circle right now. So that's pretty accurate. Besides, when I first met Baker, I was literally speechless and stunned at how beautiful she is. Like, I don't think it shows on Below Deck as pretty as she is, because she's always on deck wearing a hat and sunglasses. And then in interviews, she's just wearing like her polo shirt. But in person, she is one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. She gets dolled right up. That's for sure, you know?
But even natural, she's got, like, beautiful white teeth. She's just pretty.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I have a good taste, Kate.
You sure do. What were your first impressions of the rest of the crew when you arrived on Valor?
Well, you know, I was obviously called there with an impression already in mind that they're green, right? So I came on board going, okay, holy shit, what are we getting ourselves into? And then get on board, and it's just the, you know, the immediate animosity kind of thing between me and the lead, Nico. So, you know, you can feel that from a freaking 20 miles away, right?
And yeah, so, I mean, Captain Lee told you in advance just how green the crew was, so you knew what you were walking into. But were you surprised that there was actually animosity from what was supposed to be the lead deckhand as well as an experience from the rest of the crew?
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I kind of thought like, hey, there's an extra hand coming. You know, I'm not pushing him aside and taking him, you know, physically out of rank. He obviously knows the boat, and I know that he was there for the season prior. So he's obviously well drilled in how that the charters go on Valor. So if anything, you know, should have been more of a teamwork thing, working together to get shit done. You know, I arrived half an hour before charter, right? I got to get into the jive of things too, right? So it was difficult having to deal with that, you know, but mostly the other crew were pretty accommodating. You know, Jen was really nice, you know, being her roommate, and Bruno was super easygoing, you know. Kate's always wonderful.
Ah, you're sweet.
And, you know, it was actually really good to see Lee, too. That was pretty much, like, the, like, happiest moment as soon as I got there, right? Because Lee is
he's
a friend of mine, right? So
he kind of, like, got you started in yachting, right?
Yeah.
A little bit?
No, absolutely.
Oh, that's a very nice full circle story that now you are coming to his rescue. You know, the student has become the teacher.
Not quite, but in a sense, you know, it's like he did me a solid in the start, got me basically the best job I could ask right off the hop. And then, sure enough, he was in a little bit of a rock in a hard spot. So he called me up and, you know, I tried to do the best I could dealing with what we got, right?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid if you hadn't showed up, the yacht literally would have ended up like between a rock and a hard spot. So let's talk about this episode specifically. Were you attracted to Baker when you first stepped on board, or were you just too overwhelmed with like getting to know the boat and training the crew? Did you even consider it when you first met her?
Well, you know, it's always a kind of a rule amongst the yachties who've been around yachting. You probably know, don't sleep with the crew, right?
Is it a rule? Is it a rule? I think it's a rule for green yachties, so it doesn't become like some floating hostel of like STD transmitting backpackers. But I think for real yachties, it's kind of not a rule because it's like, okay, you've proven that you're here for the industry, the career, so get you some. Because I think a yachty that is getting some on board from another crew member is a happy yachty, happy crew, happy yacht.
Hey, there's a lot of truth to that, but there's also the fact of you're around that person every day, and if you're new or they're new, you don't know what they're going to be like in 6 months, right? You don't know if maybe it's going to get dry or maybe you end up liking one of the other crew members, God forbid, right?
Oh yeah, you definitely wait a while. You wait a while to see like if it's worth it.
Oh yeah, you gotta make sure it's worth it. Let's just say in the past I've had a couple blow up on me.
Right, too soon.
Right. So this time around it's like, you know, take your time. But obviously, as soon as I seen Baker when I walked up the dock, I thought she was cute. You know, I was like, oh, nice.
She's beautiful.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And so as soon as I walked up, I was like, oh shit, there's potential trouble.
Well, I mean, potential trouble. What went so wrong with your bad yachting relationships? I mean, did you hook up with a stewardess or something and it got awkward, or what happened?
I was just with like a sous chef on board on a big yacht I was on. And it just got to the point where we didn't have any like free time to ourselves. And it, like we got kind of angry. And like I'd take off to just take like a 30-minute breather on the islands for myself. And she'd be freaking out, oh, you didn't leave with me or whatever, right? And it just ends up getting not so fun and free spirited, which is the reason why you got into yachting in the first place, right? So it was kind of like the I was leaving a long relationship. I didn't want to get into like a too serious one. It got real serious real quick. So that was kind of my experience. And then just in other areas, like there has been a scenario where a lot of people got fired, and it was a slight result of me and one of the stewardesses. And yeah, let's just say you kind of learn from these things.
Wow, so basically that first one you mentioned, like she was getting jealous real quick about everything. It's like that's surprising because when you're living and working together, I find that jealousy is the least offending factor in breaking people up because it's pretty clear they're not cheating on you. We're all stuck on this boat in the middle of the ocean together. Like that's probably why I'm with you. Options are limited.
Yeah. Well, I left the boat, and like 2 weeks later, she was banging like the other deckhand that I was buddies with. So I was like, oh.
She was doing that to hurt you. She was on the rebound.
That could be true, though. That could definitely be true.
Well, I've been on this one yacht for like 9 months, Motor Yacht Checkmate. It was a new build Benetti. And they, late in the season, where, you know, I've been on charter for like 4 months straight because those new owners kind of live aboardy. So I'm already like cabin fever to the max. And in comes this new first mate, and he was younger than me, but he knew what he was doing, which was attractive. And I end up dating him. And then he says, after we've been dating for like 2 weeks, maybe, and I loved this yacht. I loved these owners. They were so nice. They would let me drive the Range Rover, the Aston Martin. And like 2 weeks into dating him on board, he's like, "Hey, I got my first captain's job offer with my old boat, and I have to fly over to the Mediterranean for the Monaco boat show, like, in a month. Will you come with me? And because I was all cabin fevered out, I was like, yeah, of course. We're in love. Quit my job. Missed my cousin's wedding to fly to Monaco. 2 weeks in Monaco, and I wake up, and he's staring at me, singing, "You're Beautiful" by James Blunt in my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I changed my life for this weirdo.
Oh, no.
So
I thought you were going to say you were in love.
I thought I was in love, but it was the cabin fever.
But, you know, he's a captain. You got, like, a stewardess. You're probably, like, chief stew now.
Well, no, here's what I thought. I thought I was going to also sail off into finally easy captain's life, wife, life, purser. But, so what happened was, well, this wasn't the only thing that happened. I mean, he's got, oh, sorry, that's my dog, Halo. So what happened was, we were going to the Monaco boat show, and you know, in the Med, you've got a dock stern too. And it's, I mean, it's Monaco. I don't think there's a place that would be more embarrassing to mess up docking in the world.
All the tourists, all the eyes on you, yeah.
And it's Monaco, and it's the boat show, so everybody's there. And he really messed up the stern two docking, and everybody's looking, like, it was like the rope underneath got caught in the props or something.
Ooh.
And it was, the divers had to come out, and, like, it was so embarrassing. I just think I never could look at him the same. It was not hot. Not hot. So anyways, enough about me, enough about Monaco, enough about that weirdo.
Either way, you are beautiful, Kate.
Oh, EJ, yeah. You are just so sweet. And you really are. At first, it was because I'm from Florida, where people aren't as sweet. Do you think that Canadians are extra sweet?
Well, kind of goes with the extra
can
nice.
Can you tell the difference between Canadians and other nationalities? Like, when you join a yacht and there's other nationalities on board, can you tell a difference between the niceness level of Canadians and other nationalities?
Absolutely.
You can?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it... The Canadians are really, in general, a helpful group of people, right? Like, for instance, I'll just give you a scenario here that I noticed after being, you know, on the yachts for a couple of years and not really coming back home. I couldn't really notice it when I was immersed in the Canadian way. But when I left and I came back, I noticed. For instance, if you're taking the train to go to the airport in Miami, right? You get off the train there and you don't know where you're going, and you were to ask somebody, like, hey, you know, how do I get to this gate or whatever you got to go to? Most people will quickly point and, or they won't even talk to you. They'll ignore you or whatever, right?
Right. But a Canadian will say, here, let me drive you there in my car and give you my firstborn child.
Literally will walk you to the destination and, you know,
buy you lunch.
Pretty much.
And then send you a Christmas card every year for the rest of your life and become part of your family.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
You're just one of us, right? So.
Oh, well, I can't wait to visit Canada. I hear it's beautiful, and who doesn't like being around nice people?
You're telling me.
Okay, so now, were you ever planning on asking Baker out? Because Baker asked you out, but maybe she just beat you to the punch. Were you going to ask her out eventually?
Well, you know, if the time was right and I had, like, enough thought in my head that we could take some time to make a date, you know, at that moment, I was just so kind of flustered with what was going on. I wasn't really thinking about going on dates, to be honest. But, you know, I think if time went on and we had some free time, of course I would. You know, I thought she was, like I said, me and her got along the best. Thought she was very cute, very beautiful. And, you know, I thought, who better to take out on a date, right? Well, obviously, besides Kate, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was just so busy. I think you chose well.
Jesus has you in the books now.
Yep. I am never drinking alone with Jesus. No one comes between me and Jesus. Jesus is still messaging me. I might go visit Jesus in Guadalupe. I have a really busy fall. Like, I opened up a store and this podcast and Below Deck. And my brother's getting married in Charleston in December. But I think in January, I might just take 2 weeks to go visit Jesus in Guadalupe. Because I just need a little vacation. Let's talk about Nico and his brother aren't really being that nice to you this episode. Do you think that maybe it was because now that Nico had his brother there, it was like two against one, so he was getting extra sassy? Or how did you feel about that whole experience?
Oh, that's exactly it. You know, now you have someone to back you up for sure, right? His bro is going to follow in every footstep. So, you know, he doesn't like him. It's the same if my bro was there. If my brother was there, oh, man, you could just imagine how it would be.
I can't imagine how it would be, EJ. I imagine it would go something like this. What's your brother's name?
Justin.
Justin, are your feet dirty? Oh, gosh, EJ, they sure are. I don't like dirty things. I don't like dirty words, and I don't like dirty feet. Me either. Let's wash them. Okay.
We're not like in Bible school, all right?
You know? Hey, I got nothing against Bible school and loving Jesus. Do you think Justin would have had your back against Nico? But I don't think you guys would have, like, you know, argued as much with Nico, though. It just doesn't seem like your confrontation style.
No, I don't believe in arguing. You know? I think it's just a waste of time, unless it's something worth fighting for. But all that stuff, none of that is worth fighting for, in my mind. You know, I came there to do the job. I'm the bosun. He's just sick that he's didn't get the job, right?
You know, I didn't see a lot that goes on deck when we're working because I'm in the interior. But also, I don't see a lot of what goes on after hours and between you guys. And I have to say, I'm really impressed of how you've been patient with all of Nico's kind of disrespect and constant almost insubordination. Like, you really are taking it easy on him. I think I would have, you know, become a little more upset a little sooner. Was that hard for you? Or is that always how you are?
Well, I look at it this way, you know, if it was, if he was on my level, and it was, you know, and he had some valid points behind what he was saying, that I might act a little more offended, or I may take it into consideration. But it's like, he's a little pup nibbling at my heels, you know, and he's just trying to piss me off, but I'm not going to stoop to that level. So it's quite easy for me to just kind of slough him off because it doesn't bother me. That's child's play. You know, I'm there to do the job.
Yes, I understand the theory, but I mean, at some point, because I've experienced that too, but I understand the theory. It's like, what do you know? I don't really care about your opinion because you don't even know what you're talking about. But at some point when they cross the line into like extreme disrespect, it's pretty annoying because I'm experiencing it with Jen a lot and it was hard to bite my tongue, but I did. But I think you especially are strong in that way. What did you think of our guests this week? Not the twoies, the guests, that said AF a lot with a really, really hot blonde. I'll admit, she looked great in a bikini and their group of friends.
Oh, yeah. Like, what's the question? Does she look good or what were you?
No, I mean, how did you feel during that charter? I mean, this you are letting Nico run the beach party and it ends up taking him about 40 minutes longer than it should have to get the beach party set up. The cabana blows away in the wind towards a small local island family, almost harming some children. You let Nico wanted to prove himself to the captain, say, I got this. I can be the bosun. I'm going to show you. I can run a beach party. And you're kind of like, okay, man, go for it. Prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. And he kind of messes it up. Were you surprised by that?
I guess more so disappointed, you know? It's like he's trying so hard to, for one, undermine me, right? To prove to everyone that he has what he has. And then when it comes down to it, he doesn't really have all the, doesn't have the money where his mouth is.
I mean, you are so nice. You said you were just disappointed. I mean, was there a small part of you that was kind of like, told you so? That's why I'm here. Come on, a little bit. You can admit it. I won't tell your Canadian friends and legal officials if that's how you really felt a little bit.
I'm not like a spiteful person. Of course, like with all the stuff that he's doing, you know, it's just kind of like, it kind of makes you laugh a little bit. Like, huh, there's just another proof, you know, some more proof in the pudding that, you know, there is a reason why I'm here. And so, you know, of course, it didn't make me feel good. Like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, I went and felt amazing that it screwed up for him. But did it feel good that, you know, his cockiness kind of bit him in the ass. Yeah, kind of did.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad that you admitted that. Because you are sweet. You're a very sweet person. There's no question about it. But I don't blame you. Totally. I would have definitely gotten some self-satisfaction if somebody was so indignant towards me and thought they were better than me, and then they kind of showed that they weren't. Now, obviously, I've got my hands full with the interior crew. Jen, mostly. It's not that Jen... I liked having Jen on board. I think she's hilarious. But there were moments of disrespect, but at least she wasn't boring. Could you tell from where you were standing on the deck crew that I was having trouble with my interior crew, or what were your thoughts about how that all was going? I do know that you were not loving the laundry room situation. I definitely agree with you. That laundry room was a disaster 24/7.
Well, you know, I feel like just like the scenario that I'm in, the crew are green. They're not used to the ethics or the standard, I guess you could say, that we've learned on other boats, that you learn from going to one boat to another boat, and then you kind of take the mean ground of what it should be, right? Because you'll learn different things from one boat and different things, but there's kind of a common standard.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
I don't think they kind of have that common standard, so it just throws everything amok.
Yeah, they didn't have the foundation. Like, I did a first year on a busy charter boat to get that year experience, and then I did like 3 years of freelance, and I learned a lot in my freelance years, because once you have that foundation, you see what the common denominator on every boat is of how things works, and then you can kind of cherry pick from each boat, like, ooh, but they did this way and that really worked well, and then this boat did this that way and that didn't work, so let's not. And I think it really breeds a healthier, well-rounded yachtie. And for this crew to be so green, they've got, not only do they not have that, like seeing different ways of the same job being done, they don't even have the foundation.
Well, that's just it.
And so it kind of throws everything off.
And then throw, you know, the the bitterness, as you could say, in it, right? And then, you know, everyone kind of getting into, I'm doing more work or I'm doing less work. It's like, well, it's a team, you know? It's not necessarily about that. Everyone's got to come together. So
You're right. And that's true. I think that's true of any job, but it's especially prevalent in yachting because there is so much work and it is such an intense environment. If you have that attitude, it actually makes your job more difficult. And then it starts a cycle. The more you're like, oh, even if you are doing the most work on a specific day, that might happen for whatever reasons. But if you focus on that and the self-pity, and then it's just, then you really start hating your job, but then there's more work to do, and it's just a really toxic cycle. So if you got, just lean in and say, yep, this is a lot of work, living the dream, okay.
And I also think too, like in any job you've ever had, if there's a hardworking guy, a hardworking individual, that person usually doesn't go unnoticed, right? So you're not going to go through this whole charter season working harder than the rest, and it's not going to come unnoticed. Right. So the best thing is just to do the job, and, you know, people will start to, the talented will shine, and the ones that are not so good will also shine in their own bad light. Right. And that's kind of the scenario with me and Nico. I just, you know, there's no point in bickering or creating excess drama than there already is in my mind, because the true colors will shine through. And same with Jen and same with Bree. You know, it's like she's saying, Jen's not working as hard as me, da, da, da. But in the end of the day, like, you don't need to say that. It's going to show for itself, right?
Yeah, definitely. You get it. You definitely get it. So for the listeners and viewers of Below Deck that don't understand the dirty feet on the teak issue, will you explain that real quickly?
All right. Well, teak is a very expensive wood, first off, and teak is a very absorbent wood. So any oils, this natural oil off your feet can cause marking and staining in the teak. Pastries are horrendous for teak because they'll just make these oily spots everywhere. Greases, anything that's basically oily will absorb into the teak, and it's ridiculously hard to get it out of there. Now, you know, if we're not on charter, you can easily clean the teak or put acid on the teak and make it look good again. But we don't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. So
ain't that the truth? Well, even How come high heels and shoes aren't even allowed on Teak? Like, we have all guests take all their shoes off before they board. So, I mean, dirty feet is even worse. I mean, why high heels will dent the Teak?
So high heels will put little dents and divots in the Teak. And then shoes, they'll collect rocks inside the tread of there. And they'll actually scratch the Teak, right? And they're dirty as well, right? But high heels is like a number one no-no.
I know it. I hated it at first, but now I like it. But why do all yachts use Teak as their deck wood material if it's so high maintenance?
Well, it is a traditional wood, right? So yachting and boating in general is very about tradition, right? So we have a lot of woods being used. Teak, why teak is used is because it's a very durable wood. It can be sanded, it can be scrubbed, and still maintain its depth and thickness, whereas other woods will deteriorate much quicker in the washing and the aciding and stuff like this. So teak lasts long, but teak is just what we always use, and it's what always, I can't imagine what it'd be if you put like oak or maple down, you know? Way worse, I'm sure.
Every week on After Deck, we choose a dinghy of the week and a yachty of the week. So would you mind telling me who your dinghy of the week is?
Dinghy of the week? Well, who's your dinghy of the week?
Look at you. You're so Canadian, you can't even pick one, so you turned it around on me. My dinghy of the week is... Bruno. My dinghy of the week is Bruno, just because he came from cruise ships and he doesn't understand that it's a totally different world on yachts. Yes, things might be done one way on cruise ships. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I mean, the fact that, you know, the most elite top 1% people in the world prefer yachts might suggest that yachts are better, but I'm not saying that. But Bruno seems to think that because the way things are run on board Motor Yacht Valor are not the same as the way things are run on a cruise ship, means that the interior isn't doing a good job. And I think that's just a really misguided judgment on his part, where he should be more focused on just learning the job he signed up for rather than criticizing other departments and other departments that outrank him. So that's how I feel about that. Who's your dinghy of the week? You don't have to, it's not, you know, they're not going to get in trouble. They're not going to get a demerit. It's not even going to go like, okay, it's not going to go on the resume.
I'm not that Canadian that I feel bad about who I think is the dinghy. I think you're absolutely right about Bruno in general. Like, I don't think it's just this week. I think throughout the whole charter season, he felt very entitled with his cruise ship knowledge, which doesn't relate at all, maybe 10% of it. I understand that part. I think you could probably put me down for Nico being the dinghy of the week every week.
Yeah, I know. Nico was,
see if you did any better.
Yeah, Nico was the dinghy this week, but I'm trying not to give it to him too often because I think it's, that one's kind of obvious at this point. He's thinking with his dinghy all charter season.
That's pretty true. I definitely don't think Matt was the thing. I think Matt pulled it off, so Matt's out of the ball game. Yeah, I would say Nico, Bruno, you know, Jen had a little bit of a spastic moment, but
she had actually her best charter ever. Okay, so who's your yachty of the week?
Yachty of the week would be you.
Oh, EJ, well, my yachty of the week would be you. But, you know, for the sake of modesty and in the vein of being Canadian, let's choose people besides ourselves, because that's assumed. Like Captain Lee, obviously Captain Lee's not in the running. You're not in the running. I'm not in the running. Who was your, did you think really had a good charter besides me?
Well, I would say Jen then.
Aw, good. I like that. Congratulations to Jen. She has won her official first yachty of the week from EJ. And you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I am 100% agreeing with you, because she, not only did she kind of have a rough start to the charter season,
But now she's kind of, you know, I was talking about, like, once you flip that switch in your brain, it really makes the job easier and things start falling into place. And I think it's this charter that switch in Jen's head is flipped. She's like, you know what? I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm just going to do the best job I can. And she does start improving and her morale is better. And I think the crew notices it. And so, yay, Jen. I am going to be asking you some fan questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this question is from Twitter. It's from Harrison Lee. How does EJ stay professional knowing a coworker lives to undermine his authority? Same question to Kate when Jen disrespects her. I'll let you go first. I think we already covered that. How do you stay so professional with Nico always trying to undermine you?
Well, it's basically like I was saying before, you know, the true colors will shine itself. And I know that deep in my head. So I'm not getting all flustered or worried about his little bickerings because I know that I'm there to do the job. And I know how to do the job. So I'm not too worried. He's just creating a big fuss for himself. How do I stay cool? I guess just by kind of trying to control his behavior and knowing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel that kind of keeps me cool. There's moments where, you know, on the back deck where I was really, really close, you know, to really doing something I didn't want to do. But
really? So that was your most angry moment of the season on that back deck buddy boy moment?
The buddy boy. I you could see it in my eyes there.
That when you said buddy boy, I knew that was rage.
That was Canadian rage. Like
That was Canadian rage. What's your favorite curse word, EJ? That's a personal question from me.
Do you hell. Curse?
Hell? What the hell are you doing hugging me not enough? Like, that's when you would use that?
What the hell are you thinking?
What are the hell are you thinking not hugging everybody you see on the street? What the hell are you thinking? Ontario's not that way. Come with me. Well, I'll show you. Hell. Okay. What the hell are you doing using Aunt Jemima? You use real Canadian maple syrup. Or does that get a worse curse word than... Is Aunt Jemima's probably a curse word in Canada?
That's blasphemy.
See? Oh, that's blasphemy. Uh-huh. Well, what the hell... In Jesus' name, maple syrup, amen. So, one more question before I let you go. What the heck is a numpty?
Oh.
Is it like a dinghy?
It's basically, you know, I think I posted the definition. But to me, like, as soon as I got in the industry, anyone that was, like, screwing up a lot or was getting close to getting fired or just... Overall was kind of like a dumbass, I guess you could call it.
You said dumbass? What the hell? What the Aunt Jemima hell, EJ?
What the hell is he doing? Hanging out in America too long.
You.
I'd say, yeah, it's just basically like a, you know, somebody who's not that good at their job. Who's,
it's a dinghy.
It's a dinghy.
Dinghy of the week.
Dingy of the week.
Yeah, actually, I did Google numpty, but that was a fan question that I wanted to ask you.
You've never heard of it because I like on so many boats I've been on, it's like, oh, a bunch of numpties over there. Like, you never heard that?
No, I actually, when I Googled it, I saw there's a British colloquialism. So I was surprised to learn it wasn't strictly Canadian. No, but I've never heard that. But maybe I worked with people who had a more colorful vocabulary for people they didn't care for. That numpty wasn't their first choice. It was more like dumb fuck. I'm sorry, EJ. Please forgive me for saying that.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to clean my ears out after here.
I know it. I'm sorry. Okay, EJ. Well, I know you got some ear cleaning to do.
My father's getting married in about 2 hours, so I'm just getting ready.
Wait, in 2 hours?
Yeah.
Holy crap, thanks for taking time. Oh, wow, you are so nice. Your dad's getting married in 2 hours. Are you, like, the best man?
I hope I am.
What?
I don't quite know at this moment. I think I just arrived, like, maybe 2 hours ago.
Oh, my gosh. God, EJ, you are so nice. Thank you. Okay, well, go enjoy your father's wedding.
Thank you very much, Kate. It was a pleasure. We should talk more often.
I know. I miss you. Let me know next time you come down to Florida, and hopefully one day when I'm allowed back in Canada, I'll come visit you. That's another story for another day. I just want to say thank you to EJ for taking the time to chat with us, especially considering he flew in that morning and had his father's wedding to go to. Just further proof of what a truly nice guy he is. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys who you all voted for on our Twitter poll at After Deck Tweets for Yachty and Dinghy of the Week. Coming in at 53%, we have Jen winning by a landslide. Well, I'm not sure it's winning. It's Dinghy of the Week, so you might call that losing. But, you know, poor Jen, she just can't catch a break. Now, for Yachty of the Week, you guys all voted for Bruno. He won by 35%. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll be back next Wednesday for another episode of After Deck. In the meantime, share your questions with us at After Deck Tweets on Twitter and on After Deck Insta on Instagram. We love hearing from you, and who knows, maybe you'll hear your question answered on next week's episode. Don't forget to vote for your pick of Yachty and Dinghy of the Week on our Twitter poll, and tune in Tuesday nights at 9, 8 central for a new episode of Below Deck on Bravo TV.
You are now listening to the After Deck.